Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thank you very much for tuning in. I'm live tonight, sort of. I wish I had David Letterman's doctors spending the last 6 weeks in bed, like it seems I've been doing, sucking on an inhaler and eating Zithromax and dealing with a slight pneumonia. That's what my doctor said. You have a pneumonia. I didn't know that the word pneumonia could be prefaced with an article. You have a pneumonia. I thought it was just like, you have pneumonia. So I'm watching a lot of television over the last, how long have I been off, Kathy? About a year? And I'm watching David Letterman on Monday night, and he's got a froggy sound to his voice like I do. But, you know, Letterman has probably much better health insurance than I do, so he was out there doing his program, and I'm laying in bed. Anyway, we're back, sort of, kind of. I think we make it through tonight. Sorry for the absence. It's been a long time since I've gotten a summer cold that turned into pneumonia. As a matter of fact, I don't think it's ever happened. But let us proceed with the program and see how far we can get tonight. I will probably be hitting the mute button a couple of times tonight as I, there's one, cough. I've got a question. Well, before we get into the program tonight, what just happened a couple hours ago in Minneapolis, I'm watching this on both CNN and MSNBC, the collapse of the bridge across the Mississippi River during the reports are saying the height of rush hour. There's just no way to tell how severe this is going to be in terms of people killed. I can't. I'm looking at these pictures, and it looks like pictures from bridges bombed during World War II. It's astonishing. The I just, you know, I don't know what to say. I sit and watch video reports like this, like you do, and I'm just dumbstruck. I have no idea what to say, except it is. I think everyone's in agreement. It's a horrific tragedy. And I've already gotten a couple of emails. I swear, people who are suggesting that there may be some connection between the collapse of the Bush crime family and this event. And why not? Why not think that? You know, some people can make that connection very quickly. I may make it tomorrow, but, you know, not right away. As far as the Bush crime family goes, and we have some reporting to do on them tonight, trust me, we have Dick Cheney tonight. We have the hearings with this hideous Rumsfeld. I got one question about Karl Rove, though. He must run some kind of weekly seminar in the West Wing of the White House for how to lie to Congress or how to fake amnesia. Rumsfeld, Gonzalez, Cheney on Larry King the other night. These three retired generals, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, nobody can remember anything. They remember nothing about their duties in the executive branch of government, in the highest levels of the military. Nothing. Nobody remembers. It's amazing. It's like they're all operating in some kind of psychotic fugue state. You can look that up. I had a lot of time on my hands lately. Maybe Rove has some sort of machine, like the one from that from the movie The Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Remember that? Some kind of magical memory eraser? It's unbelievable. That's the other thing I've done, is watch these hearings. Now, you can't watch them on your average cable or satellite system. Of course not. So you have to go to cspan.org. and watch these lying bastards sit there. We got lots of nasty sound clips for your entertainment tonight. I don't know how else to put it. You know, it's like, why should I suffer alone, right? You folks are here. So, Rumsferatu in the House Oversight Committee today, and Dick, are the lambs still crying, Clarice? Cheney. on Larry King last night. They should have put a lie detector in Cheney instead of a pacemaker with an explosive charge, so that whenever he told a lie, that would be the end of it? Yeah. All right. The other news event today was the greedy bastards that run the Wall Street Journal decided to go for the $60 a share. And if you can get your mind, I'm not going to talk about this too much because there's nothing to talk about right now, except for the fact that the purchase has been made. Rupert Murdoch now owns the Wall Street Journal, which is just unbelievable to me. How soon before he'll start tampering with the Dow Jones averages? Jesus, God, this country is just going right into the crapper, isn't it? I mean, just pray that nobody hits the plunger for a while. And SC writes in, do you remember what happened the last time Rumsfeld testified before a commission regarding missing funds and misappropriations back in 2001? The very next day was the September 11th attack on this country. Remember that these blankers always follow the same patterns. I didn't know. I didn't remember that. Is that true? Really? All right. Well, let's see what happens in the next 24 hours. Maybe that's what the see that that's people write me and say there's got to be a connection between the collapse of this bridge and the testimony that's been given to these various committees over the past few days, and the testimony not given. Anything to drive everything off the television screens. So that's the level of suspicion or paranoia that the Bush crime family has engendered in this society. I don't blame people for writing me an email like that. Hey, Malloy, do you suppose that there's a connection? I don't blame folks for feeling that way at all. In the New York Times today, it says that the Democratic leaders in Congress are scrambling to pass legislation this week to, are you sitting down, to expand the government's electronic wiretapping powers. Democrats, under pressure from George Bush, Democratic leaders in Congress are scrambling to pass legislation to expand the Bush crime family's electronic wiretapping powers. This is astonishing. The next graph in this article says Democratic leaders have expressed a new willingness to work with the White House to amend the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act to make it easier for the National Security Agency to eavesdrop on some purely foreign calls and email, purely foreign telephone calls, only foreign telephone calls. No, we wouldn't cheat. No, no, no. Such a step now requires court approval, but the Democratic Party leadership wants to make it easier. It would be the first change in the law since the Bush crime family's wiretapping without warrants became public almost 2 years ago. So now they're going to change the law to make it easier. Why? Why? Here's the reason. The Democrats appear to be worried that if they block this legislation that's being proposed by Republicans, the White House, the Bush crime family, will depict them as being weak on terrorism. Jesus, God. So, you folks out there in Radio Land who get your bloomers in a wad with my constant criticism of the Democratic Party leadership, factor this in, huh? What do you think of this? They're afraid that Bush will make them appear to be weak on terrorism, so the Democratic leadership in Congress is working its collective ass off to make it easier for Bush to spy on everybody. My God.
Because life's too short to listen to Right Wing Radio, it's more of Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. We do have an inordinate amount of sound for you tonight that we're going to get to in a couple of minutes. There's just a few more things here that I think needs at least passing attention. And going back to the topic right before the break about Democratic leaders in Congress scrambling to pass legislation this week before they all go on vacation, you know, like the Iraqi Congress, to expand Bush's electronic wiretapping powers. This is astonishing. And they're doing it because they don't want to appear weak on terrorism. This is disgusting. This is the kind of stuff that turns one away totally, completely, from the democratic process or the electoral process. You bust your ass to get these people in office to impeach this bastard. Just anything to stop him. And they turn around and impeachment's off the table. That's the first thing out of their mouths. And now they're working with him to destroy civil liberties. Anthony Romero, who is the executive director of the ACLU, said, quote, Congress needs to take its time before it implements another piece of anti-terrorism legislation it will regret, like the Patriot Act. He went on to say, the Bush administration clearly has abused the FISA powers it already has, and clearly wants to go back to the good old days of warrantless wiretapping and domestic spying. Congress must stop this bill in its tracks, end quote. But the Weasley Democratic Party leadership, here's Harry Reid, Monday night said, we hope our Republican counterparts will work together with us to fix the problem rather than try again to gain partisan political advantage at the expense of our national security, end quote. That just makes me want to throw up. I to hear Harry Reid say that. We want to work with our Republican counterparts to make it even more easy for George W. Bush to violate, destroy, and urinate all over the Constitution. Hi. You want to help us, Republic? Okay. I don't understand this. I don't understand it. The Bush crime family has told these Democratic lawmakers that it, the crime family, will accept a narrow bill now, one that says, all right, you can go back to spying without warrants, but it's got to be from foreigners. All right. The White House will accept that now. But the White House is telling, the Bush thugs are telling these lawmakers that it's going to come back later. They are going to come back later for broader changes, including legal immunity for telecommunications companies involved in the wiretapping program. You see, they'll protect the rights of these goddamn corporations, but they won't protect yours or mine. I'm sorry, I used the curse word again. They want legal immunity for AT&T and Bell and whoever the hell else is going to assist these fascists. Legal immunity. But if you get caught up in it, you're screwed. And you don't think we're already at the level of corporatism or fascism? Hmm? The Democrats have proposed that the new eavesdropping law be reviewed by the secret FISA court to make sure that it has not ensnared any Americans. Ooh, oh yeah, we'll do that. You can just hear Rove say, oh yeah, okay, got it, boys. Yeah, you got it, right, Dick?
Yeah, right.
The Bush administration has proposed that the review be performed by, right, the Attorney General, Alberto Gonzalez, torture boy. But the Democrats are hesitant to give that kind of authority to Alberto. Yeah. You don't have to give it to him. He already has it. He's been using it. I can't get my mind around this. You know, I read this in the Times this morning. I get up after another one of those miserable nights. You know what it's like when you have a pneumonia. I can't get around. My doctor says, well, Mike, you have a pneumonia. What? You have a pneumonia. Oh, she's a good doctor. I have food in my refrigerator older than she is, but, you know, you have a pneumonia. Oh, okay. And to wake up and to pick up the Times. So damn weak, I can't walk up to the end of the driveway to get it. Kathy brings it in, says, don't look at page 9. So, you know, I turn to page 9 and there it is. The Democratic Party leadership is trying to figure out how to give Bush everything he wants and more.
Now, the man conservatives love to hate, it's Mike Malloy.
Before the hour. The Tillman case, the Pat Tillman case, is about more than the murder of a soldier in Afghanistan or the death of a soldier in Afghanistan. Is turning out, there's no question Pat Tillman was murdered coldly, calculatedly, and by his own people, probably by contractors that are military contractors that run around Afghanistan the way you and I run around the mall. And in my opinion, based on nothing other than my gut feeling and having watched this filthy Bush administration for the past 7 years, word went out to make a hit on Pat Tillman, and they did it, simply because Pat Tillman was not a warmonger. It's my understanding that Tillman was due to be redeployed back to the States. As everyone knows, he had interview appointments set up with Noam Chomsky. He had become completely anti-war, and he was about to spill the beans on this filthy, corrupt, murderous Bush administration. So he was killed. Very simply, you don't become the poster man for the United States Army's Ranger Division, and then turn against them and go back home and say, look, they're murdering people over here, unless you want to die. I'm not saying Tillman wanted to die. I'm saying they murdered him, period. So far, the Army has demoted a retired three-star general. Oh, that's a big whoop over this cover-up, the original cover-ups surrounding Tillman's death. And Winston Warfield, who is with, he's a member of Veterans for Peace, and he's a Vietnam vet. He was in the infantry, and writing at counterpunch.org, he said, here's some technical stuff. Now listen to this, and then I'm going to play some sound for you from today. Tillman was killed by three closely grouped 5.56 millimeter rounds. That's ammunition used exclusively by the United States in firing their M16s. These three closely grouped rounds were placed in the middle of his forehead. The official Army story was that he was killed by friendly fire by his own unit from about 90 yards away. Now, the M16 is an automatic weapon which could be fired semi-automatically, where each trigger pull fires one round, or on full automatic, where the weapon fires continuously and very rapidly as long as the trigger stays pulled. The choice between semi-automatic and fully automatic is made by a switch on the weapon. Anyone who's fired any type of weapon knows that the violent release of expanding gases accelerating the bullet down the barrel causes the weapon to jump or recoil. It's physics. The accelerating bullet causes an equal and opposite reaction. The recoiling weapon will not and cannot place a second bullet on the same aiming point as the first if it is fired rapidly. Similarly for the third bullet and so forth. This is especially true for automatic fire mode, but also for semi-automatic mode, if the rate of fire or the pulling of the trigger is rapid. Automatic weapons are said to walk. They move, and it's impossible to avoid this, even by the most skilled marksman. Add to this another factor. Automatic weapons discharge multiple bullets in rapid succession. Where these bullets land is called the beaten zone in Army training parlance. The further you are away from the beaten zone, the larger the zone will be. That is, the weapon's recoil, already discussed, causes a spray effect, whose profile is larger the further away the target is, like a garden hose. Army doctors examining Tillman noted the very close grouping of the entry wounds in his forehead and concluded they could not have come from a weapon fired 90 yards away, more like 10 yards max. And the Army doctors tried to report this, but the reports were squelched. 10 yards raises vexing questions, not the least of which is that the Army's current story, after the first version was exposed as BS, the new story may itself be another cover-up. The obvious question is this. If the bullets came from 10 yards away, who fired them and why? This is complicated by the knowledge of Pat Tillman, a member of the elite U.S. Army Rangers. Its shock infantry was openly opposed to the occupation of Iraq, in which he had participated, and was a well-read political dissident who intended to meet with Noam Chomsky, who is deeply opposed to U.S. imperialism. Pat Tillman, the poster boy for Bush Cheney's global war on terrorism, never had that meeting and never returned to the United States. Now, that was written at Counterpunch by Winston Warfield, Vietnam veteran and a member of Veterans for Peace. The grouping of these bullets, the bullet holes in Pat Tillman's head, is a clear indication that he was murdered. He was executed. And I wonder if I can't even buy the 10 yards. That's 30 feet. That's a hell of a distance. It makes me think he was being held in a position and shot from maybe 5 yards, his head immobilized so he couldn't move, because the weapon's going to move. So is Pat Tillman's body when that first slug drills into his skull. Unless he's being held by something. Or someone. But that's something else we'll never know, right? And as Sharon writes today, anyone who watched or heard the testimony of the generals and Rumsfeld at the Pat Tillman hearings today will not wonder why our military is broken. What a sorry lot. No leadership whatsoever. No responsibility. No courage. No integrity. They took the Sergeant Schultz defense. I see nothing. I hear nothing. I know nothing. It makes me want to cry. And then Sharon puts this in. Standing at attention, wrapped in stars and stripes, they hear the phantom drummers and the non-existent pipes. These days, the buck stops nowhere. No one takes the blame, but evil is still evil in anybody's name. Don Henley. Here you go. From the hearings today, first one is Representative Elijah Cummings, Democrat from Maryland. Questions Rumsfeld about the Pat Tillman case, quoting his mom, Mary Tillman's testimony to Congress in April, and the possibility of a cover-up of Pat's likely murder. Listen as Rumsfeld plays the known-unknown word game again in denying a cover-up, this rotten bastard. But pay careful attention to his language. He said he wouldn't participate in a cover-up, but he didn't deny what happened. He didn't say categorically that he wasn't part of it. In other words, he left an inch of wiggle room, as these bastards always do, saying would not instead of did not. This is a long clip, but it's very telling. So we're playing the whole thing. Listen.
At our hearing in April, Pat Tillman's mother, Mary Tillman, and this is one of the most wrenching hearings I've been attended since I've been here 11 years, was asked about the possibility that you didn't know, and this was her response. And I want you to listen to this. This is from a mother whose son had been killed in war. She said, I've been doing a lot of reading about former Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld. And I believe just from what I've learned about him as a person and his expectations for his staff that he would have had this information. I think what Mary Tillman said encapsulates what many Americans feel. It does not seem credible that you didn't know this information. I ask you, sir, most respectfully, do you think that the Tillmans received the truth, and I ask all of you, do you think there was a cover-up by DOD?
Let me respond this way. First, the words, I read the testimony of your previous hearing. I agree with you that it was a heart-wrenching hearing. And the words that you cited from his mother, obviously were the words of a grieving mother. And as I recall the testimony, she did go on to say that she has no facts or no paper or no information to confirm her belief, which I thought was gracious of her, because I know of no facts to confirm her belief, and I know of no one else who has any facts or paper to confirm her belief.
So are you claiming there was an error? You mentioned error. Is there a difference between a lie and an error, Mr. Secretary?
Well, certainly there's a difference between the two, and I don't know how many investigations. Some people have said five, some six, some seven. But every single one of them has suggested that it was badly handled and errors were made, but in no instance has any evidence of a cover-up, to use the phrase you used, been presented or put forward. I know of nothing that suggests that. I know that I would not engage in a cover-up. I know that no one in the White House suggested such a thing to me. I know that the gentlemen sitting next to me are men of enormous integrity and would not participate in something like that. So, of course, there's a difference between error and cover-up.
Yeah, there's a difference between saying would not and did not, too, isn't there, you slimy son of a bitch? Isn't there? There he sits. Now, we got time for the Kucinich. No, we don't have time for Kucinich. We have a long clip here where Kucinich just gets out the barrel stave and beats this old bastard half to death verbally. And I want you to hear the whole thing when we come back. Will we have time when we come back? All right, we'll have time. Kucinich tearing into Rumsfeld over Rumsfeld's shaping of the news by the Department of Defense. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
They find on that desert stage and the bravery of being out of range. Yeah, the person is best. Oh man, what the hell are you gonna kill next? All the time.
I hear the voices, and I read the front page, but I'm the decider, and I decide what is best.
It's about 10 before the hour. As you're listening to the sound from the Tillman hearing today, you might want to go to votevets.org. There is a petition there that you can sign demanding that this criminal little bastard in the White House come clean. Of course, he won't, but it might be nice to send 100,000 signatures to tell this punk that we know what the scam is. VoteVets.org. All right, Dennis Kucinich gets into Rumsfeld, specifically the shaping of the Tillman cover-up, and he gets into the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan in general. We all know the Bush crime family has one attitude toward the press. If you can't buy them, shoot them. And if they send out prepackaged happy news stories to media outlets, trying, as Raisin Brain would say, to catapult the propaganda, well then, this back and forth is very interesting.
Can you tell this committee whether or not, in your capacity as Secretary of Defense, you had discussions within the White House regarding press strategies that would be involved in the communication of the events of the war to the American people?
I can say without qualification that I can't recall ever having a discussion
there you go.
With anyone in the White House on press strategy relating to the Tillman matter in any aspect of it.
Did you ever have discussions in the White House, generally speaking, about press strategies with respect to the conduct of the war in Iraq?
You'd have to ask the White House.
Was there a press strategy that the Department of Defense was expected to be mindful of with respect to the conduct of the war in Iraq?
To my knowledge, there was no White House press strategy that the Pentagon was told to be mindful of.
Was there a Department of Defense press strategy with respect to the war?
If there was, it obviously wasn't very good.
Jesus.
Well, you know, maybe it was very good because you actually covered up the Tillman case for a while. You covered up the Jessica Lynch case. You covered up Abu Ghraib. So something was working for you. Was there a strategy to do it, Mr. Rumsfeld?
Well, Congressman, the implication that you said you covered up, that's just false. You have nothing to base that on. You have not a scrap of evidence or a piece of paper or a witness that would attest to that. I have not been involved in any cover-up whatsoever, and I don't believe there's an individual at this table who I know well and observed at close quarters in very difficult situations who had any role in a cover-up on this matter.
Well, thank you for acquitting yourself. I was speaking of the Department of Defense. I was speaking of things that are manifest and obvious. We've held a hearing on the Tillman case. We've held hearings on Abu Ghraib. And the hearing on this, you have not been able to establish. How is it that this news could get out? No one managed it. No one communicated it to the American public. It just happened. I mean, you haven't really given this committee a good explanation as to how it happened, Mr. Rumsfeld.
This committee has held many hours of hearings on the subject, and they've had the witnesses of the people who were responsible for the management of this issue, and it was the United States Army.
Was there any outsourcing of that message? Was the Rendon or Lincoln Group involved in communicating any messages?
You'd have to ask them. You'd have to ask the Army.
Did the Department of Defense have any connection at all with any outside individuals to communicate messages to the general public to help in the shaping of that message? Was there a press strategy involved?
On this subject, to my knowledge.
Was there a press strategy involved?
On this subject, not to my knowledge.
Was there a press strategy involved generally that you used?
I've already answered that question.
Well, I don't think you have, not to my satisfaction.
Well, was the Rendon to the best group, of my ability.
Was the Rendon Group involved in communicating a press strategy on behalf of the Department of Defense with respect to the war in Iraq?
You would have to ask the people in the department.
Yeah, don't ask me. Don't ask me. I'm just you know, what am I? I was just the one who ran the war. I'm just the one who made the decisions. I'm just the one who farmed out what needed to be farmed out and managed what needed to be managed. And how dare you, Mr. Kucinich, to infer that I am the criminal son of a bitch that I really am. No one's supposed to know that, Mr. Kucinich. Not the American public. Not the people dying in Iraq. Not the people who have already died in Iraq. Not the families of the people who have died in Iraq. Nobody is supposed to know that I am the evil son of a bitch who ordered everything. The lies, the cover-ups, the murders, the invasions, the filth, the killing, the raping, the murder, the bombing, the gassing. How dare you, Mr. Kucinich, infer that I am who I am. It's astonishing stuff, Truth Seeker. And I've got more for you when we come back from this break. There they sit. And one of these punks wore his uniform. They're all retired. Who were they? Who were these slime balls? Retired General John Abizade, former commander, U.S. Central Command. Retired General Richard B. Myers, former chair, Joint Chiefs. Retired General Brian Douglas Brown, former commander, U.S. Special Operations. And the Honorable Donald Rumsfeld, former Secretary of Defense. I wouldn't give you a dime for all four of these rat bastards, these murderous, lying, fascist pigs who sat there today and gave once again their middle finger, not just to Kucinich and Waxman in this committee, but to the American people and to the United States military. These cowardly snakes that have nearly single-handedly destroyed every honor, every tradition, every decent thing about the United States military. Damn the four of you. Damn the four of you. No one knows. No one remembers. Stuff happens. Unbelievable. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back, about 7 past the hour.
Thanks, Peter Werby.
By the way, I forgot to say it the first hour, but thanks to Peter Werby who filled in for me Monday and Tuesday night. I always really appreciate it when Peter takes the helm of the program because he's a true professional, and I appreciate the fact that he did that. Hell, he may have to do it tomorrow night. No, I'm trying to
be in next week.
I'm trying to be over this. But the middle of next week, he'll. We were supposed to have a week off starting next Monday, and looks like we will take it. Take our time off starting the middle of next week. Peter will be filling in. Anyway, back to the hearing today. Waxman's committee on government oversight, yada yada, with these punks: Rumsfeld, General Abizay, General Myers, General Brown. The three generals, all retired, sitting there lying through their teeth about this hideous cover-up that they engineered to begin with regarding the Pat Tillman murder case. A couple of emails here. This is from Ron in PA. Mike, they didn't just maliciously murder Pat Tillman. They desecrated him. They made memento mori of him for the purpose of telling us that they'll do the same to us once their little plan to pimp out the U.S. is in place if we don't go along peacefully. So if the gloves are off, when do we return in kind? Rumsfeld would look good as a bowling ball, wouldn't he? Either that, or the blood, seppish thing with the pole might work for that wonderful eternal grin he deserves, 650,000 plus times over. Ron's a little bit pissed off. Blood the Impaler, blood seppish, whatever. This is from Glenn. Oh, it's right out of The Godfather. Sonny, what are you doing? Nice college boy? Doesn't want to get mixed up in the family business? You think this is a battlefield where you shoot somebody a mile away? No, you get a 45, you shoot him up close, and bada-bing, blood all over your nice Ivy League suit. You're taking this awfully personal. Tom, this is business, and this kid's taking this very personal. Michael, it's not personal, Sonny. It's strictly business. Remember, two shots to the head, lower your arm, drop the gun, and walk out of the place. Oh, vindicatum tuto, expositum nusquam, denego tuto. Claim everything, explain nothing, deny everything. Excuse me. Eric writes, Mike, regarding Tillman, no doubt it was murder, but it was politically motivated murder. Tillman had become a political figure, and it appears he was intending to become more so. Political murder is assassination. Tillman was assassinated. Eric. Next questioner on the committee, Henry Waxman's committee, is Representative Paul Hodes, a Democrat of New Hampshire. Talks to Rumskull about all the fake hearings the Department of Defense has conducted to smoke screens to really cover up what's going on, like their toy hearing into Abu Ghraib or the Tillman case or various other cases of torture, murder, and abuse that the Army ordered and hoped the American people would never discover. This is when the Republicans have been in control. Listen to Rumsfeld get all cute and quippy here about his brilliant answers. Murder is so funny to these giggling bastards.
Secretary Rumsfeld, the approach of ordering a series of military investigations that are limited in scope and that do not address the question of what top officials knew appears to be the Department of Defense's MO when it really doesn't want accountability. In the case of both Abu Ghraib and in the Tillman investigation, there were deliberate efforts to avoid accountability. This serial kind of narrow investigating, never answering the questions about who at the top knew what, is a problem. What do you think ought to be done so that the American people can be assured that the top leadership in this country is accountable, is willing to come forward and tell the truth, and is going to take the actions to reassure the American public that abuses won't happen again?
There is a problem, I don't disagree at all, with the perception that you end up in a situation like the Tillman case, where you have 5, 6, or 7 separate investigations. None of the answers are satisfactory. It's unfortunate. It's harmful. It causes exactly the perception that you're promoting. And it's regrettable.
What should be done about it?
I don't know. I wish I had some brilliant answers.
Oh, Jesus God. All the investigations? No, Rumsfeld, you lying rat bastard. Those are hearings that have been held. Congressional hearings, 6,000 miles away, 10,000 miles away from where Tillman was assassinated. They weren't investigations. There's been one investigation, you lying, filthy old man. One investigation by the United States Department of Defense, right? Or was it the Army? One investigation, lots of hearings, which is what the member of Congress was referring to. And at every one of these hearings, it doesn't matter what the case is. Jessica Lynch, Abu Ghraib, Pat Tillman, you filthy desecrators of the honor of the United States military, sit there and lie through your filthy teeth. Even when you've been cashiered, you still come back and lie, you pig. Danny Davis, Democrat of Illinois, then asked Ted Rumsfeld about his former media guy at Department of Defense, Larry DeRita, remember him? And his involvement with the White House's knowledge of the cover-up of the Tillman case. This would prove, of course, that the White House was complicit in the cover-up. So, of course, Rumsfeld has no memory of any conversation between DeRita and himself and the Bush crime family. Can't remember anything. Must have caught amnesia from Gonzo. You know, it's been going around.
Secretary Rumsfeld, I understand that Mr. DeRita was one of your closest advisors, and I'd like to ask about your knowledge of Mr. DeRita's actions with respect to the White House. We have a copy of an email dated April the 23rd, 2004, the day after Corporal Tillman was killed, from Jeannie Memo, who was the White House Director of Media Affairs to Mr. DeRita. The email asked for information about the circumstances surrounding Corporal Tillman's death. The question I wanted to ask, though, is were you aware that the White House contacted Mr. DeRita and requested information?
I have no recollection of that from that time, and I've not heard of this email even in the preparation for this hearing.
It's all news to me. I know nothing. I see nothing. I hear nothing. I'm a deaf, dumb, blind monkey. I know nothing. I just send people to their deaths and then go hold interesting, cute little press conferences where I thump the podium over and over. Or I play with my laser pointer. I know nothing. Got time for this last one for the break? All right. Representative Eleanor Norton from the District of Columbia then got into what did he know and when did he know it. That portion of the Dog and Pony Show today. Got it, Mr. Rumsfeld, haven't you? Gates isn't nearly as ghastly as or as entertaining as this corpse-eating bug. Anyway, why was a Rumsfeld chief assistant question about the Tillman case in the Department of Defense's toy investigation of this fratricide? Since Rumsfeld claims he didn't remember anything about the case at the time, why didn't Rumsfeld or anybody ask his assistants when Rumsfeld was told, guess what, Rumsfeld can't remember that conversation either?
During our own investigation, the committee staff talked with Lieutenant General Craddock. Now, he was your senior military assistant at the time in 2004, and he told us that he worked closely with you on a daily basis, sometimes in touch with you many times a day, but he says that your office never contacted him to ask for his recollection or documents. I'm asking, why did you not consult this close assistant of your own concerning what you knew and when you knew it?
It was the last series of days I was in the department. There were a great many things going on. The inspector general asked some questions, and my civilian assistant, Mr. Rangel, as I recall, I said, figure out if there's any way we can know when I was told, because I don't remember.
Oh, for Christ's sake. Figure out, is there any way? Because, you know, when was I told? Oh, golly, you know, I'm the Department of Defense chief. What do you call that? Oh, that's right, Secretary of Defense. When was I told? Does anybody remember? Does anybody know? Well, Miss Norton, you see, you know, this, I was getting ready to check out the Department of Defense. Of course, this murder happened a couple of years ago, so, you know, time has a way of eroding everything. There have been so many murders. There have been so many cover-ups. Jesus, Miss Norton, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to show you my file folder on cover-ups and murders and invasions and bombings and tortures and memos and all the crap and the filth and the chaos and the mayhem I've introduced into the human family? You want me to show you the whole book? Do you, Miss Norton?
Starched white shirt, you will find bigger piggies stirring up the dirt. Always have clean shirts to play around with.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more of Mike Malloy.
Twenty-two past the hour. All right, last soundbite from the hearing today. Now, Chairman Henry Waxman sums everything up on this date from hell between the committee and these four lying bastards who have collectively done so much to destroy the United States military. Just, it's astonishing what Abizade, Myers, Brown, and Rumsfeld have done to the United States military. I don't know how people who are, especially junior officers, I don't know how they can handle this. You know, the captains and the lieutenants, and even the majors, the people in that mid-level officer corps that are looking forward to a career in the military and who are thinking now or realizing now what they have to overcome because of these filthy old men. It's just unbelievable. Anyway, here's how the date ended. Waxman sums it up with a last-minute added interjection by Rumskull, reminding the committee that he doesn't recall anything. I recall nothing. Rumsfeld had to make sure that they didn't forget that he knows nothing.
Well, let me conclude the hearing by
in just indicating the facts that General Myers and General Brown knew about the friendly fire issue at the end of April. General Abizaid learned on May 6th. Secretary Rumsfeld learned on May 20th. All of these are the senior leaders that knew before the public and the family.
Yet all of them, sir. I want to make sure it's precisely accurate. I do not believe I testified that I learned on May 20th.
Oh,
and if that impression's been left, I don't want that left. My testimony is that I do not recall. I was told
that a
person was in a meeting after May 20th when I was informed. But that is, I just simply do not know when I first learned of the possibility of.
Well, I appreciate that correction. Well, you all didn't know.
Let's hear the rest of the rats. Come on, come on.
It appears that all of you had some indication before the ceremony where the world was being told that Corporal Tillman was killed in the line of duty. He was getting the Silver Star. There was a memorial service where this misinformation was given out. The public should have known, the family should have known earlier, whoever was responsible, but none of you feel that you personally responsible, but the system itself didn't work. Ironically enough, the president could have called you all in and said, why didn't I know about this when there was a P4 memo? But somehow or other, it seemed like the president avoided any embarrassment as well. So maybe somebody did know at the White House. We're obviously trying to find out what went on, who had responsibility, who dropped the ball. The system didn't work. Errors were made. That's too passive. Somebody should be responsible, and we're trying to figure that out. That concludes our hearing today, and we stand adjourned.
And just before Rumsfeld, that little rat got his abandon the sinking ship statement in. Two of these just terrible examples of military leadership said basically the same thing. No, I don't know. Me neither. I didn't even know. My God. This is from John Soltz, who is the co-founder and chairman of VoteVets.org. He's an Iraq War veteran. He said, today, veterans of the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq wrote to Bush calling on him to come clean on the death of former NFL star and Army Ranger Pat Tillman, and we need you to join us. Go to VoteVets.org and sign on to our letter. I'll share the rest of this with you when you come back. But during the break, go to votevets.org and sign the petition. I know what I said a couple of weeks ago. I don't sign petitions anymore. I don't. But for something like this, you know, it's not going to some politician. It's going to a fascist dictating killer. And just maybe that'll have an effect. He'll know that we know the kind of filth he's doing. We'll be right back.
Feeling left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
It's about 26 before the hour. Here's an email from, I'm going to come to your calls here in just a second, from Jay in Texas. And Jay writes, Mike, concerning the Pat Tillman scenario, there's one thing I would clarify. When I was in the Army during the first Gulf War, we were issued M16A2s. There were modifications from the M16A1, which had been a semi-automatic, one round fired for each trigger pull, and the automatic setting, which fired rounds as long as the trigger was pulled or until the magazine expired all its ammunition. Now, the A2 has or had a semi-automatic and a burst feature, which when the weapon was set to burst, it fired three rounds per trigger pull. Thus, all someone had to do was pull that trigger once if the weapon was set to burst to put three rounds in a target. Someone may conclude that it was an accident if it was set to burst. Accidents do happen. but Rangers are razor sharp on safety and protocol when it comes to handling weapons. I don't know what upgrades the Army has done since I was discharged, but the burst feature was hailed as more efficient. Maybe someone could research if the Army was still using the burst feature at the time of Pat Tillman's tragic death. This administration is full of rats, just when you think it can't stoop any lower. This. Okay, thanks, Jay. All right, a couple of phone calls here on the Tillman thing, and then we're going to, I want you to hear Admiral Richard Mullen, the man who would be the new chairman of the Joint Chiefs. We have one soundbite from him, from his Senate Armed Services Committee testimony yesterday, his confirmation hearing. But let's go to AJ, the music machine, calling from the Catskills. Hey, AJ.
Hey, handsome. How are you tonight?
I'm getting through, pal.
Yeah, well, you know, as much as I like to hear you, I wish you hadn't come in. I'm afraid you're going to come in and too soon.
No, I'm all right.
And just keep that cold going. But anyway.
It's okay. I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with pneumonia? You just work through it. But anyway, the real reason you called.
Well, the real reason I called, Christ, we were listening to Rumsfeld's testimony today.
Right.
And he said one of his many times, I don't recall, and you can ask my wife, she was there as a witness, I let out a huge scream.
I'll bet you did.
Because we just went through this with Gonzalez,
right.
Cheney's interview the other night, same thing, I don't recall.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like this. I'm stupefied. And I, you know, I don't use sports metaphors because I think they're kind of lame, but I really feel like we're watching, you know, watching Democrats, waiting for them to do something about this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like watching your baseball team when the other team rallies and you hope against hope that this is the play that's going to reverse things, and
right.
It doesn't.
I know it's incredible.
And you know, the other night, I think it was last night, in fact, I read something off of Huffington that the Republicans are going to try some jerry rigging in California. I would appreciate it if you'd address this in the next few days.
Yeah.
That's going to completely reconfigure the electoral process in their favor.
This legislation you're talking about, is that the word you just said? All right, I've got mucus in my ears, I think. But, and the Democrats are going along with it.
And the Democrats are going along with it, and that's my point, is that, you know, on the one hand, I'm listening to this, to one guy after the other say, I don't recall. And on the other hand, I'm listening to a Democratic majority that is absolutely impotent.
Yeah.
They've got absolutely... I don't understand. I thought the majority ruled.
Well...
You know, it's completely upside down.
I know.
So, anyway, Mike, I wanted to, before I let you go, because maybe a while before I hear you again next week, you're going on vacation, I wanted to compliment you. Put on your compliment helmet that I got you now so that you can withstand the compliment.
Yeah.
I've had an occasion to call a couple of shows lately, and I just wanted to compliment you and Kathy for putting on a show that makes people feel, when they talk to you, as if the conversation is just one-on-one and a courteous and efficient screener. I don't take that for granted when I call you. I don't really bother calling any other shows anymore because it just has a very different feel about it. So I really appreciate that.
Well, thanks, AJ. That's a very kind thing for you to say.
Well, I can also, if you permit me, I'll end the call with an admonition.
All right. Sure.
Yeah. And this is the first time I will use my authority as a founding member.
All right. Use it.
When you guys, last week when you were sick, the website and the radio program talked about, encore recordings.
Yeah.
Don't say encore.
Well, it's not me saying it.
We're not Republican idiots. We know what NASCAR is.
I know. I call it rebroadcast. I made
Please
fun.
Do.
I know. I don't.
Pass that up, will you?
That's way above my pay grade, AJ. But I'll pass it up.
Mike, please feel better.
All right, I will.
Hi to the whole family.
Thanks a lot, AJ.
Peace.
Take care.
Did we get him his check yet?
Yeah, right. Let me see here. Oh, yeah, I was right in the middle of saying this when we took the break from John Soltz, who is the co-founder and chairman of VoteVets.org. He wants you to go to their website and sign the petition that will be given to this filthy pig in the White House calling on Bush to come clean on the death of Pat Tillman. In his statement, Soltz says, last week it was reported that medical examiners who had examined Tillman's body shortly after his death determined his fatal wounds may have been caused by shots fired from 10 yards away and urged a criminal investigation into his death. They were denied. The initial story that he was killed by enemy fire has already proven to be a lie, and officers who contributed to cover-up were punished. Yet when the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform, that's Waxman's committee, sent the president a bipartisan request for a number of documents related to the Tillman investigation, the administration refused to turn over key communications to the committee, citing executive privilege. Oh, my God, don't you want to smash something? Huh? I said that, not Soltz. Soltz goes on in his email, there is no executive privilege claim that holds any water when the matter is the death of an American soldier, especially one who had been used by this administration as a poster boy for the war. By refusing to release every pertinent document, the White House is fostering a climate of distrust among those in the military, hurting efforts to recruit new soldiers by creating doubt on behalf of parents who should expect their 18-year-old son or daughter will be honored for their service, and insulting the memory of Pat Tillman. Unless the president has something to hide, he should release all the documents requested by Republicans and Democrats on the committee. Finally, as commander-in-chief, the president owes the complete and total truth to Corporal Tillman's mother, Mary Tillman. To lie about any detail or withhold any information would not just cause unjust pain to the survivors, but is to dishonor the fallen. For the good of our military, our troops, the Tillmans, and our nation, we need you to sign on to our letter calling on the president to comply with all past and future requests of the House Committee on Oversight on the matter of the death of Corporal Tillman. Sincerely, John Soltz. Go to their website, please, okay? I know. I'm always asking you to do stuff. VoteVets.org. VoteVets.org. Sign the petition, will you? Back to your phone calls here. Sanchez is calling from Montebello, California. Sanchez, welcome to the program.
Hey, good evening, Mike.
Hey.
Good to talk to you here after so long, huh?
I hear you.
Hey, regarding all of this thing with Pat Tillman, I actually tortured myself and tried to watch at least the first hour of it. But when we got to the point in the hearings this morning where Elijah Cummings was asking that question to Rumsfeld about, like, you know, keeping tabs on Tillman, and Rumsfeld said, hey, I can't keep tabs on what was it? He said 3 million members or 300,000 soldiers,
yeah,
or whatever. And that's where I lost it. I really, really lost it. And I let out a scream as well, referring back to what AJ was talking about.
Oh, I know. It's just, I can't say on the radio, neither can you.
No, I know.
What you and I would do, given a choice or given a chance, to work out our frustrations about this matter. Can't say it on the radio, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can say it in the privacy of my home, and I do say it, but to think of these cowardly pigs who are sending our people into this war to begin with, and then doing what they're doing, it's just, I can't, and yet, The Republican Party is going to continue to insist that they are the party that is pro-military.
Right.
And
right.
They are the party that has done everything in its power,
right,
to denigrate, destroy, belittle,
yeah,
urinate on, and just treat with utter contempt.
Well, I hear the music coming up. I wanted to talk to you about the M16.
All right, hold on.
Thanks.
I'll put you on hold. I'll come back to you,
okay,
Sanchez.
Thanks.
We'll take a quick break here. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
we take lives when we have to protect the people. That's how I look at it.
He gets so dreamy when he talks about it, doesn't he? Oh, well, we kill. 10 before the hour, we're talking to Sanchez in Montebello. All right, Sanchez, what else were you going to add?
Okay, well, there is an article that came up on the website opednews.com,
right.
And I have to say a very big thank you to a contact of mine, Horace Coleman from the Iraq Veterans Against the War, who originally sent me this link. He knows me through soldiervoices.net, where I've been covering this ever since the 24th, were the original Waxman hearings, and I was always suspicious, but I don't have ballistic expertise. I'm a civilian, you know that.
Right.
And so with this article, it was called, "What Was Pat Tillman Murdered?" Absolutely yes. According to a Vietnam vet, this guy is also a ballistics expert, and he goes on in this article to discuss the close proximity of
we've talked about that twice.
Yes.
On the program last week and again tonight.
Yes, and so on top of Bush claiming executive privilege, the one thing that this article backs up with the two articles that you've already read was his analysis concerning how those shots came and the fact that, yes, it was semi-automatic as opposed to automatic, and that's backed up in this article. But what he's saying, what Bill Perry is saying here, is that because it's a shot group. These are a cluster of at least three bullets that possibly one is overlapping on top of the other. The only way to get a shot group is similar to that of, like, on a rifle range where you have a target. The target is stationary. You know those paper targets with the silhouette?
Sure.
And
yeah,
you fire
yeah.
them like that? Okay. The same thing has to happen here in the behavior because, for example, if Pat Tillman would have been shot once in the forehead, his head would have flailed back before the next bullet would have been able to enter.
Well, that's what I guess you didn't hear, Sanchez. That's just what I was talking about hour, that his head had to have been held in a stationary position.
Yes, and the one thing that I wanted to add, that quite possibly he was already on the ground because the ground would have backed up and his head would have been stationary. So that was the one thing I wanted to add to this. But the other thing that AJ was just talking about right now, like, why are the Democrats so weak, is the thing I brought up like a month ago, 2 months ago, where the Democrats are still the Washington Generals, and this is the Harlem Globetrotters basketball game.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have to keep calling. Sign that petition. Go ahead and sign that petition and question, because my main question here, and I've been asking this, I even asked Jeff Farias a couple of weeks ago this very question, was a Valerie Plame operation in place, much similar to what happened to Valerie Plame? Because, again, everybody already knew that he was an outspoken Iraq war critic.
Yeah,
you know, he was about to contact or have a meeting with Noam Chomsky. If he would have connected to Chomsky's wisdom, that was the tip of the iceberg here, Mike.
I know. I hear what you're saying, Sanchez, and I completely agree with you, pal. Listen, I got to move on. Thank you, Sanchez. Thank you. I appreciate you checking in. Quick email here from Alan in San Bruno. Listening on the quake. Mike, I just heard the message you read on the air, and I have a thing to say about the three-round burst comment. You know, the fact that these weapons, I think what Alan's referring to is one of our listeners says the M16 has been modified that when you hold the trigger, or when you pull the trigger, it could be set on burst, where you get three rounds. Boom, boom, boom. Alan says there is a three-round burst on the M16A2 rifles and also on the M4 carbines. My own experience with the M16s is that they kick enough that the rifle would have to be within inches in order to put all three rounds into his forehead, which is kind of what Sanchez was just saying. Otherwise, that same three-round burst from anywhere further than a couple of feet would put the second and third rounds a foot or more apart. Yeah, see, that's the thing. I mean, when you have a body with three rounds from an M16 just inches apart in the person's head, Jesus, God, and I guess they figure we are so stupid or we're so tuned in to Paris Hilton that was something that we're just going to, oh, yeah, three shots in the head, son of a bitch. Man, that's awful. Boy, those Afghan rebels must be, whoo-hoo. Oh, it wasn't Afghan rebels? Oh, okay. Well, our guys, you know, the fratricide, the friendly fire thing, well, you know, from 90 yards away, maybe you couldn't tell. They had a smoke grenade go off and, you know, three rounds in the head. Yeah, wow, Jesus. And then you find out that it's a physical impossibility. And we're supposed to sit here and suck it up. It could not have happened the way we've been told it happened. It could not have happened that way. And Rumsfeld knows it, and Abizaid knows it, and Myers knows it, and Brown knows it, and every one of these lying bastards knows it. Jesus. It was AJ that said, you know, day after day, everything. What is the event that tips us over, that makes us say, okay, that's enough? What is the event that does that? What does it take to, I mean, what the hell has to happen? What has to happen? Just instance after instance, isn't it clear, is it not clear, I should say, to everyone in this country that this administration doesn't give a damn about the Constitution, laws, rules, competence, honesty, decency, morality? This is unbelievable. Every single day, something... Executive privilege where it concerns the death of Pat Tillman? What in the Christ name does that mean? And now I see from Raw Story that Rove has given his middle finger to the Congress. He's not going to testify either. None of them are. Let's get it on. Why don't we just get it on, huh? Why let this play out as a constitutional crisis? We know what's coming, don't we? Huh? And there's enough of us who understand an M16A and an M16B. And we understand burst firing. Huh? What are we waiting for? I really wonder what we're waiting for. Welcome back, about 7 past the hour. All right, I have one more soundbite here I want to play for you. This is from the Senate Armed Service Committee hearing yesterday. The witness is Admiral Richard Mullen, the man who would be the new chairman of the Joint Chiefs. He tells the Senate Armed Services Committee yesterday that no surge, no amount of military presence in Iraq will do a damn bit of good unless or until the Iraqi government makes some political progress.
I believe security is critical to providing the government of Iraq the breathing space it needs to work toward political national reconciliation and economic growth, which are themselves critical to a stable Iraq. Barring that, no amount of troops in no amount of time will make much of a difference.
Really?
How would you assess our likelihood of winning, given what you know now, Admiral Mullen?
Based on the lack of political reconciliation, there does not appear to be much political progress at the government level, obviously, although I spoke earlier about some of it going on at the local level, which I think is important.
I would be concerned about whether we'd be winning or not.
All right. The question there was Lindsey Graham, of course, Republican of South Carolina, who insists we can win. But there you have the perhaps the future chairman of the Joint Chiefs. Maybe he just murdered himself, politically speaking, by stating the truth. You don't state the truth in the age of Bush. Now, I've got some more sound for you that I want to play. It's part of the interview between Larry King, of all people, and this pig, Dick Cheney. But before we do that, a couple of emails about the bridge collapse. Our friend Mike in St. Paul, the attorney, came to visit us in New York. Remember Mike? Came with Katie, too, I think. No, Katie didn't come. Hi, Mike. I was about 4 blocks from the bridge collapse when it happened. Today was my first day back in the cities after leaving my former place of employment. I knew something was up as I saw several news helicopters and emergency vehicles comb the downtown area. I and others in bumper-to-bumper traffic had to get out of the way as ambulances and emergency boats on trailers tried to get through. The collapse is a catastrophe because of the preventable loss of life. Governor Pawlenty, a Republican, vetoed the Highways and Bridges Act, which could have prevented this tragedy. Too expensive, have to keep those taxes low, have to fund the war, not enough left for bridges. From Mike in St. Paul, Simon in the UK writes, obviously suspecting the Bush crime family involvement in this bridge collapse is going into the realm of extreme paranoia, but the right wing in their various forms did play their part. By using their government is bad, taxes are evil propaganda that they've spent decades pounding into the heads of ordinary, decent working people, who then go out and vote for lawmakers at all levels who will spend their careers privatizing, defunding, or trying to abolish every government program that is intended for the public good, infrastructure included. And so the neglect builds up until finally catastrophe occurs and lives are lost. But do you suppose anyone will make the connection next time they're in the voting booth? Somehow I doubt it. This is from Prairie 2. Mike, 26 years of stealing the highway trust funds to cover Republican deficits caused the bridge collapse. The Society of Engineers recently stated that there are at least 3,000 major bridges and dams at risk in this country. They can have a new cable channel like Court TV or the Garden Channel. Call it the Infrastructure Collapse Channel. And this is from Dan. Dan. Mike, only one other bridge in 1969 fell under load. I guess that means without all the weight that it's supposed to withstand. All other recorded collapses of bridges are during construction. The way this bridge fell was unnatural in its physics, similar to the way the towers fell in elapsed time. Also, in the way that it failed. Failures are usually in a local area, spreading to other areas in a certain order. This one collapsed all at the same time. Three or more places failed all at the same time. What are the odds of that happening, considering all past bridge failures? The logical conclusion is that someone tampered with, thus causing this bridge to fail. Well, that's sure. And I'm not going to... I'm not going to patronize anyone's comments or be condescending. You know, I'm sure now there will be a huge debate about the structural failures. But if you take a look, at the pictures that are on MSNBC and CNN right now, I mean, Jesus God, when I first turned on the television tonight, when I came to the studio and saw this, I thought, my God, there's been an earthquake in Minneapolis. That didn't look like a bridge collapsing at a structurally weak point. You know, one end collapses and then things start to fall and boom, down it goes. Take a look at the pictures. And MSNBC, I think it was MSNBC or CNN, had a structural engineer on, somebody named Galambos. And his name sounded familiar. Sure, he's Greek. I think it's some bridge building family that for some reason his name just reminded me of somebody important, I guess, and or with some notoriety. And this engineer was trying to explain that from what he's seen of the pictures on CNN and MSNBC, This is impossible. This is not how a bridge collapses. It's not how Building 7 collapses. It's not how the trade towers collapse. It's not how things are handled at Abu Ghraib. It's not what goes on at Guantanamo. None of it's real. None of it. Nothing since this Bush crime family stole the presidency. Nothing is what it appears to be, if it appears to be anything. Over and over and over again. If you don't feel like you've slipped through the looking glass, if you don't feel you live in the land of the Red Queen, then you're a junkie of some sort. I don't know, you're an addict. I don't know, you're high on something, constantly. Even if it's just your own denial, you're high on something. Have you noticed? I don't care what the story is. I don't care what the issue. If it's torture, or war heroes, or soldiers who go commit rape and murder, or bridges that collapse, or attacks on the country, or buildings that fall down, or forest fires that rage out of control. I don't care what the issue is. Have you noticed? Is it just me? Have you noticed? No matter what the issue is, it's not what it appears to be. An attorney general, a justice department that destroys justice. A State Department that acquiesces to torture and denies international treaties and agreements. An Environmental Protection Agency that allows people to breathe in death. It doesn't stop. It hasn't stopped since December 12th, 2000. That's when it all collapsed. Everything collapsed. December 12th, 2000, it all ended. The day the Supreme Court stopped the counting of votes in Florida and gave the election of the presidency to this criminal enterprise known as the Bush crime family. Have you noticed that? Everything. I don't care what it is. Every government program, everything the United States is involved in, domestically, on a foreign level, it doesn't matter. All of it is a lie, is a deception. How do you retain your sanity in a situation like that? How do you do that? How do you explain to your children? How do you do it? We'll be back after the break.
Misinformation, taking scissors to play with the black vote down in Florida, colored pens and for sexing up the I'm the someone who knew, and I'm telling pre-September. I lean on in the loop to help them unremember. I was flying on UA-93. That shadow in the footage, it was probably me. I'm the rumor, I'm the doubt, I'm the lie. But you wouldn't stand near me if you didn't want to die. Everything you know is wrong.
Misinformation.
There's a verse missing out of this song.
Misinformation.
Everything you know is wrong.
Misinformation.
Wrong.
Terrorists are against peace. Terrorists kill innocent life. Those who would like to kill, those are called terrorists.
That's a description of yourself, you murderer. God. All right. There's just so much to cover here. But I want to do some of Dick Cheney immediately after he had his chest opened up again and some innocent human being's heart stuffed into his cavity. Larry King Live on Tuesday last night. And, of course, Larry King can face off against Dick Cheney, the Dark Lord, easily because Larry himself is several thousand years old. So what the hell difference does it, you know, a couple of old vampires sitting around talking. He leads off on Cheney's abysmal popularity numbers with the public and even his own close friends. King says, does it pain you when Brent Scowcroft says this is not the Dick Cheney he knew that you were close friends?
I don't bear any grudges towards Brent. Brent doesn't walk in my shoes these days. He's not in the job I'm in. He's not responsible for making the decisions the president's had to make and those of us who support him and advise him.
Does it pain you?
Not especially. It goes with the turf, Larry. If I were in business to be popular, I suppose I'd be worried about my poll ratings and so forth. I'm not. I came here to do a job. I'm not running for any office myself. I made the decision when I signed on with the president that the only agenda I would have would be his agenda, that I was not going to be like most vice presidents, and that was angling, trying to figure out how I was going to get elected president when his term was over with. When he's finished, I'm finished. We walk out of here on January 20th of 09, and I think we'll be able to hold our heads high knowing we did the best we could for the country.
For the country or to the country? You nasty, nasty man. Next, Larry asks a question our own founding fathers thought they settled well over two centuries ago. To which branch of government does Mr. Cheney belong? Larry King says, where do you belong? We were a little confused over recent statements that you're not in either the executive or the legislative.
I have a foot in both camps, if you will, Larry. As vice president, obviously, I'm next in line to succeed the president if something happens to him. I have an office in the West Wing of the White House. I advise the president. I'm a member of the National Security Council. Those are all executive functions granted to me basically by the president. At the same time, I have responsibilities under the Constitution for certain things up on Capitol Hill in the Senate. I am the president of the Senate, the presiding officer of the Senate. I cast tie-breaking votes there. My paycheck actually comes from the Senate.
No!
So the fact is, the vice president's sort of a weird duck in the sense that you do have some duties.
Well, weird what?
Does that mean, therefore, there are
a
certain
duck?
Areas you can claim one or the other and not be responsible for one or the other?
Well, I suppose I try not to do that. Vice president doesn't really run anything, obviously. In the executive branch, you do only what the president asks you to do. He gives you assignments. But whatever authority you have is delegated by the president himself. Constitution, on the other hand, provides for your role as the president of the Senate.
A weird duck? I can think of a weird word that rhymes with duck. On his role in bullying the dying, hospitalized then-Attorney General and religious fanatic Attorney General John Ashcroft into accepting the illegal spying of Americans, Larry King says, well, the New York Times, which is, as you said, it's not your favorite paper, reports it was you who dispatched Gonzalez and Andrew Carr to then-Attorney General John Ashcroft's hospital room in 2004 to push Ashcroft to certify the president's intelligence-gathering program. Come on now. Was it you?
I don't recall the... first of all, I haven't seen the story. I don't recall that I gave instructions to that effect.
That would be something you would recall.
I would think so. But certainly I was involved because I was a big advocate of the terrorist surveillance program.
Oh.
And had been responsible and working with General Hayden and George Tenet to get it to the president for approval.
I'll bet.
By the time this occurred, it had already been approved about 12 times by the Department of Justice.
So there, nothing new.
But you didn't send them to get
it. I don't recall that I was the one who sent them to the hospital.
How about those who would say, sometimes, even though it may be fine, someone should leave if they're bringing trouble to the... If Gonzalez is hurting the administration, he should of his own volition leave.
Well, the president makes that judgment, Larry.
But he can make the judgment, too.
But the president's the one who has to evaluate... the individuals who serve for them. He has confidence in Al, and that's good enough for
yes,
me.
He has confidence in Al. Good old Al. You notice that Larry King sounds a lot like Joe Lieberman? You notice that? We'll be back with more of this swill right after the break.
My blood is boiling. My brain IBM. So if you see me acting strangely, don't be surprised. I'm just a man who needed someone and someone to hide to keep me alive.
It's about 26 before the hour. Back to the interview with the vampire. Larry King playing the part of Anne Rice here. Larry King doesn't want to let old Cheney forget his buddy and convicted felon, Irving Libby. How is old Libby these days? King says, the Scooter Libby trial. Did you think... And I want you to hear how he sounds like, how Larry King sounds like Joe Lieberman. Do you think he should have been pardoned?
I am glad that the president saw fit to commute Scooter's sentence. I thought that was a good outcome, and I supported the president's decision.
Well, there down the road, do you think he should be pardoned? You can still pardon, can't you?
I don't want to speculate on that, Larry. It's not my decision to make. The president did make the decision, and I supported that decision.
I haven't seen him. I know him. How's he doing?
Oh, well,
Jesus,
he's doing well.
God.
He's,
how's your mom and them?
Going through a very, very difficult time. Very hard for him and for his family.
Yeah.
I think having the commutation of sentence decided has been... huge relief for him, but
and
he still
too.
Has a very difficult road to hoe. He's got, obviously, he needs to find work. He's got legal bills. He's
down to his last 20 million.
The burden of having been convicted.
Oh.
All of those are not easy problems, but he's clearly in good spirits and getting on with his life.
You keep in touch with him?
Yes.
Did you call him after the verdict?
I've seen him, had dinner with him.
Yeah, we had fava beans and a nice Chianti. And a couple of Iraqi children that happened to be in the freezer. Are the lambs still crying, Clarice? Larry King sitting there saying, I haven't seen him. I know him. How's he doing? Oh, he's doing fine. A little athlete's foot developed, and he's got a carbuncle on his ass. But, same thing Rush had, so it's no big deal. Do you keep in touch with him? Oh, yeah. Did you call him after the verdict? Oh, yeah, of course. You know, I called him up and said, who should we make the check out to? You know. Jesus, God, I hate these people. I hate these people. On another corrupt member of the Bush crime family, Bush's main executioner, Karl Rove. Karl Rove. King Lieberman says... The Senate Judiciary Committee is subpoenaing Karl Rove in connection with the firing of federal prosecutors. Why shouldn't he appear?
There is a strong tradition that the President of the United States is entitled to have people around him who advise him.
And who will be quiet.
Who do not then have to go before the Congress and testify.
Petty thieves,
that element
liars,
of executive
thugs.
Privilege. Confidentiality of communications between the president and his senior people is a very important one, and it shouldn't be violated, and I don't believe it will be in this case.
But the public might say, what do you got to hide?
The public?
Well,
and that would be logical. What do you got to hide?
First of all, there's no charge. What's the allegation of the wrongdoing here?
Yeah.
Frankly, there isn't anything.
It's a witch hunt.
With respect to the U.S. attorney, there's been, I think, a bit of a witch hunt on Capitol Hill as they keep rolling over rocks hoping they can find something.
Yeah.
There really hasn't been anything come up that would suggest there was any wrongdoing of any kind.
But Dick, nobody said there was. I just want Rove to answer some questions, you psychopathic bastard. You're the one who keeps blathering on about wrongdoing. Hmm? First of all, there is no charge. No one's charging Roe with anything yet, Darth. They just want him to answer some freaking questions and, you know, clarify some things. What's the big deal about that? With respect to the U.S. attorneys, there has been, I think, a bit of a witch hunt on Capitol Hill as they keep rolling over rocks, hoping they can find something. Yeah, and just today it was revealed that an attorney made the firing list because he disagreed with the Bush crime family over an OxyContin case. Not finding anything, Darth? Did they replace your pacemaker or your frontal lobe? You filthy pig. Last one from Dick. Are the lambs still crying, Clarice? Cheney. This time it's on his favorite subject, torture. Or, as he and Lynn like to call it in bed at night, enhanced interrogation. Do me. No, you do me. Do me, bitch. Do me. King says, Mr. Vice President, General Powell says he would close Guantanamo yesterday. You remember General Powell used to be Secretary of State? Would you close Guantanamo yesterday?
No, I think you need to have some place to hold those individuals who have been captured during the global war on terror.
You have to torture them when they're there?
We don't do torture.
No, we give them cookies and tickle them with feathers.
A question on that.
Well,
you ever said we support certain methods of physical harm?
We support the ability of certain agencies of the federal government to have the capacity to use enhanced techniques for interrogation.
Like Viagra?
We have authorization that we got from the Congress to, in fact, do that. And they do it under very careful safeguards and very stringent safeguards. We're careful not to torture. We're not in the business of torturing people. We don't discuss specific techniques.
Not even with you,
because,
Larry.
Because the last thing you want to do is tell your potential
adversary what your techniques are.
What your techniques are, because that would allow them
to
train
and practice to resist them.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's all see if we can train and practice to resist drowning. Huh? Can you do that? Hold your breath, Akbar. Hold it. We're careful not to torture, because it is so damn tempting when you have all those naked, swarthy, sweaty men clumped up together like that. We're not in the business of torturing people. Like most of other crimes, we prefer to outsource torture to Egypt and Saudi Arabia, and you know. And when King says, what is enhanced techniques? Jesus, I hate these people. I think I hate them more tonight than I have hated them in 7 years. I think the depth and breadth and width of my hatred has reached just new dimensions. As a matter of fact, it's so huge, this hatred I feel, that it's pushing into dimensions heretofore unknown, even in quantum mechanics and physics. That's how deep. I'm into the 426,000th dimension tonight with the hate for these pigs. What is enhanced, Larry King says. And the answer, we don't discuss the specific techniques. Because my cardiologist said I shouldn't get too excited this soon after the insertion. And we don't talk about it. Because then your adversary will understand what your techniques are, and that would allow them to train and practice to resist them. As in, hey, Muhammad, pass the waterboard. It's my turn to practice with it. And you've had that battery wire and testicle clip for over an hour now. Come on, it's sharing time. Oh, God, I need to practice. us where the weapons are. I can't even begin to explain how much I hate these people. I don't have the vocabulary. I don't have the neural capacity. I don't have the capillary capacity. I can't do it. Well, it's almost quitting time. My goodness.
Yes. Poor you can't have the glass of wine tonight because of all the drugs.
That's right. No wine tonight, but I'm taking codeine cough syrup, which I have to say is much better than wine. Before the hour, thanks to the usual gang of bandits who put this program together, Ian Huff, who answered your calls and engineered at KPHX, our flagship station in Phoenix, Billy Foster, the CIO and chat room moderator at NovaMradio.com. Thanks again to my good friend, Pete Werby, who filled in for me for a couple of nights and will be filling in next week, I think. Thank you, Peter. Thanks to Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, and the militant mods who operate the MikeMalloy.com message board. The executive producer of this program is Catherine Bay. I will be back tomorrow night. Pneumonia is easy. Raising a 3-year-old is difficult.
Ho, 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 ho.
See if we can work in a couple of phone calls here before the program is finished. Ron is calling from San Francisco, listening on the Quake. Hey, Ron.
Hi, Mark. Mike, excuse me.
That's okay.
You know what? Yeah, been hanging on for a while. Hey, there's so much damn guilty demeanor in this Pat Tillman story and all of the different stories, 9/11 and all of these things. I mean, when you have a group of soldiers say one story, destroy evidence, and then the doctor says, I want a criminal investigation, and the superior saying no, and then he goes above their heads, and then no again,
yeah.
And then the 3-star general in direct line of command 70 times says he can't remember, takes the Fifth Amendment to suppress, to protect his rights against self-incrimination, and then refuses a subpoena to appear before Congress, and then the White House, the Rovian types, go, hey, yeah, we're not going to tell you through executive privilege anything have to do with
it. It's astonishing.
Well, I mean, it's just clear evidence of they're hiding something. They got something to hide there.
Oh, my God. And everything they touch, they corrupt. They turn it into spider-encrusted death. Everything they touch. It's
you know what I'd like to see? You know what I'd like to see is I'd like to see the Reagan Bush records that were sealed by W. I'd like to see what
Yeah, we probably couldn't handle it. On top of the past 7 years of absolute, utter, total corruption, and annihilation of the Constitution, we couldn't handle what's been sealed. On top of everything else, I just don't think we could handle it, Ron. But,
well, I think that we're going to handle it, and I think if the Republic is going to continue, we're going to have a truth and reconciliation thing like they had in South Africa, and all the dirty laundry is going to have to come out, or we're just going to have to do what the revolutionary founders did and decide, listen, we tried to be nice, we tried to go by the law. For instance, if there's no law that requires you to pay income tax, why are you paying it? I mean, why do they put people in jail? They just asked to show the damn law. Show us the law.
Oh, I know.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I hear you, Ron. I know what you're saying. But what we have here is corruption to not squared or cubed or to the fifth power or the tenth power, but corruption that can only be expressed as some sort of a extended logarithm. Leonard is calling from Glendale, Arizona, listening on KPHX. Hey, Leonard.
Hey, Mike. You know, you and a lot of the folks there at Novem Radio, I look up to you, and I really do pray. Not first because I consider you a friend, even though I know you don't know who I am, but secondly because I'm worried about what's happening to this country, and I know we all got to participate, but you are one of the people that is helping to galvanize efforts to save our country, our democracy, and so I pray to God you get better. I really do, on a personal level and on a selfish level, for the friggin' sake of this country. So anyways, you know, I don't know, whatever kind of medicines you can take, whatever, I don't care if it's a Native American that's got a... Anyways, just want to let you know that.
Well, that's very, that's very kind. That's very kind, Leonard. Thanks.
No, I mean, yeah.
No, really, but, it's very kind. Thank you.
But the thing is, I know you got to go. I'm from Arizona. I remember what I was doing when Pat Tillman was killed. And really, if anything can come out of this, good. Maybe this can cause many more thousands of congressional investigations, because just consider this. This is one man. Many thousands have died. I knew two comrades in Iraq who died on the same stretch of road, exactly 10 days apart, within hundreds of feet of each other, because we couldn't get the device that goes in front of the Humvee that sets off these powerful charges. And we begged them, we pleaded with them. The United States Army units had them. We were told it would take weeks. We didn't even have time to get out to find a junkyard or something, and they both died horrible deaths. And for what? And nobody's investigating. And the reason I don't push it, except here on your radio station, is because I know that my squad leader said, look, Clark, you're going to hurt the families. Don't do this. But I know that they should not have died. It was negligent homicide. It wasn't just some, you know, when you go to war, you take a chance. These men were negligently killed. Mm-hmm. Because they didn't have a piece of equipment that the regular Army units had, and this is what I'm talking about. Maybe Pat Tillman's death can cause many more thousands of investigations. I'm hoping they can have a truth commission someday on this. But anyway,
I hear you.
Thank you, Mike, and I know, you know, roughly your religious thing on, but I'm still praying for you. You know, never hurts, you know. And plus a little lemon and honey or something. I don't know, man.
That'll do it. That'll do it.
Thanks,
Leonard,
a lot,
thank
Mike.
You. All right, sir. I got to go. Thank you. I appreciate what you had to say. But it's, you know, it's a severe cold that got into, as my youngish doctor says, a pneumonia. So we're going to whip its ass. That's all. You know, it's no big deal. I'll see you tomorrow night. Okay? Take care. Thanks for participating in the program tonight. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.